Good morning. This is Community Corner. I'm Kathy Jones. Tuesday was World AIDS Day, and according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, more than 1 million Americans are living with HIV and AIDS in the United States. Well, joining us this morning to discuss living with AIDS is Jack McEnroe from the hit reality TV series Project Runway and Dr. Michael Gottlieb. He was the physician to Rock Hudson and, following the actor's death, joined with Elizabeth Taylor to launch the American Foundation for AIDS Research. And he's going to discuss the progress that HIV and AIDS treatment has made over the years. First off, I'd like to start with Jack. Tell us about your campaign. It's called Living Positive by Design.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a really amazing HIV education campaign in partnership with Merck. Your listeners can go to livingpositivebydesign.com and get the, in case I leave anything out. But what it really is about is, you know, being visible and having thoughtful conversations about HIV and fighting the stigma of living with HIV. And then if you do, you know, we always obviously encourage everyone to get tested for HIV, but if you find yourself with an HIV positive diagnosis, we hope that we can all combat the stigma together, but we want people that are HIV positive to partner with a physician that they feel very comfortable with and get on a treatment regimen that's tolerable to their systems, because treatment for everyone needs to be individualized, because people, as the doctor will attest, can react differently to every different kind of medication. And then that we hope that medication is tolerable, so people stay on the treatment. So that's really what we're all about. And here on World AIDS Day, we're really trying to draw attention to HIV and AIDS and restart that conversation in the national and global dialogue.
Well, through Living Positive by Design, your national campaign, are you hoping it snowballs into something bigger?
I would love that. I mean, you know, our message is important to get out there. You know, we're doing what we can. There's a lot of great organizations doing a lot of great work. I would love it to snowball, as you said. I think that we just need to, because treatment options are much better than they were when I was diagnosed. I've been HIV positive for 20 years. So, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, when the prospects were fairly grim if you had an HIV diagnosis, there was a kind of a forced national dialogue because people were dying, and there was a sense of urgency, which thankfully we don't have that today, because there's been so much progress as far as treatment options. But I think, you know, it's still a very serious illness. There is no cure, and we have to be vigilant about that and really keep the conversation going. So patients get the medical attention that they need and become their own healthcare advocate. And I didn't know if I mentioned, but it's like attaining an undetectable viral load is really crucial for anyone who's HIV positive. And what Dr. Gottlieb will explain is that means when you get your blood work tested, which anyone who's HIV positive does on a fairly regular basis, they test for the level of virus in your blood, and you want that to be undetectable. And then we also test for the CD4 count, which is, it's a good marker of how well your immune system is doing.
Now, you mentioned, Jack, you've been living with HIV for 20 years, and obviously that is not typical. So what's your advice for someone who thinks that HIV is no big deal these days?
Well, you know, that's an issue that we deal with now, because it's great that there are so many treatments, but going along with that, because the treatments are so effective and you can hopefully, in the best case scenario, live a very normal, productive life, then the flip side of that is that people don't think it's as serious. You know, it is very serious. There is no cure. Unfortunately, there's 1.1, approximately, this is according to the CDC, approximately 1.1 million people in the U.S. living with HIV, and the scary part of that is that 1 out of 5 of those people don't know that they're HIV positive. So, you know, HIV really affects everyone, and anyone who's, unless they're completely abstinent and not at risk at all, they need to be getting tested and taking the proper steps. And the good thing is, and through campaigns like Living Positive by Design, that there is hope out there, and there are treatment options, and they're much more effective.
Why do you feel that you have survived so long? I mean, 20 years to me is fantastic with HIV. What are some of the reasons behind that?
You know, if I knew the answer to that, we hopefully wouldn't be having this conversation. But I think I followed all the steps that we talk about in Living Positive by Design. I found out my status, or my HIV status, relatively early, we think, in my diagnosis, and I partnered with a physician very early on, and immediately actually, and I disclosed my status. I had support, mental support through friends and support groups, and there weren't a lot of medications back then. This was 1989, 1990. There were probably one or two, and they weren't that effective. There were side effects, but as the medications progressed and evolved, I went with it. I had a close relationship with my doctor. I got my blood work done on a regular basis. And beyond that, I take care of myself. I have a good health care beyond medication. And, you know, I think mental health plays into that, physical health, what you eat, all those things play into your overall general health.
That was going to be one of my questions. How important is emotional support from family and friends?
Well, I think that's huge. And I find now, you know, because a lot of people reach out to me just because of my exposure on Project Runway, and I am fairly accessible through the internet, you can be closeted about your HIV status now because the healthcare is so effective that people don't, quote unquote, look sick or, you know, have a lot of the ailments that they did in the 80s and early 90s. So it's unfortunate because people are so, quote unquote, in the closet about their status and ashamed of it because of the stigma that's associated with it. And I think that's harmful for the individuals, because I always tell people the more you reach out to people in return, you'll get a lot of benefit just by talking about it. You'll find that there's people in your situation as well, or people that are also, you know people that are living with HIV, and that can only add to your total well-being.
Well, Jack, I'm going to turn to Dr. Gottlieb now. Dr. Gottlieb, in 1981, you became the first physician to describe the new disease that was later known as AIDS. So how has treatment changed over the decades?
Well, it's been pretty remarkable to see treatment evolve from a time, you know, before Rock Hudson, when there was no treatment available whatsoever, to having new drugs available that treat HIV so much more effectively. And this revolution started in 1995 with combination therapy and has evolved, going into 2009 with newer drugs on the market that hit the virus in ways that we never imagined way back then. And these drugs are much more tolerable than the older generation of HIV medications. And as Jack pointed out, they can dependably, in the right hands with the right patient and right doctor, get the virus load down to an undetectable level in the blood, which doesn't mean a cure, but it means that the virus will do minimal damage to the immune system if its levels can be reduced to undetectable. It can allow the immune system to recover and keep the person protected against the infections that took so many lives in the old days.
So what's new in research?
Well, in research, in treatment research, it's medications that, as I said, attack the virus in novel ways and reduce the level of virus to very, very low levels. The other area of research that's been a bit disappointing is vaccine research. Despite the promise of a vaccine as something that will help people here and around the world, an effective HIV vaccine still isn't anywhere close to development.
Now, Jack answered this question just a little bit ago, and I want to ask you the same thing. Do you feel that all of the current treatments for HIV and AIDS, because they're so good, that it's giving people a false sense of security?
Well, I guess people, as Jack said, it's a two-edged sword. Yes, it's a great success, and people like Jack, and I would add that he's not the only one who are surviving 20-plus years with HIV. It's not all that uncommon. On the other hand, it gives young people the idea that, well, maybe if I could, I can do whatever I want, and if I contract HIV, well, they can treat it. It's still not a picnic living with HIV, and there are downsides. Their medications do have side effects, and sometimes they don't work. And so we want to send a message to young people who are at risk of contracting HIV, and 60,000 people every year in the United States alone develop new HIV infections. We want to let them know that they need to take preventive measures, and that we need much more in the way of HIV education to reduce their risk.
Well, Dr. Gottlieb, when someone is diagnosed with HIV, how important does it become for them to become, I guess, diligent when it comes to managing that HIV?
Well, I think Jack has done it, and he's said it so well. He tested early. He found out. He took charge of his health care. He found a doctor who was a collaborator, a partner in ensuring his health. He took advantage of new medications as they became available. And he sought to take care of his emotional health, you know, sharing his diagnosis with probably selected friends and family, and taking care of his mental health, his physical health, eating well, exercising. All these things play a role in the optimal care of the person with HIV. But if a person doesn't know their HIV status, they can't be doing any of that, and they have significant risks of not doing well.
Now, as we mentioned, 1981, you became the first physician to describe the new disease that would later become known as AIDS. And the high-risk group back then was one group. Has that changed over the years? Who is the high-risk group now?
In the past, HIV was associated with, in the United States, with gay men and IV drug use. But in the world today, gay people and IV drug users are the vast minority of people infected with HIV around the world, a trivial minority. In this country, HIV has made a great inroad into the African-American community, and recent studies, upwards of 49% of people living with HIV and AIDS in the United States are African-American, and that's why it should be a major issue of concern to the African-American community. With more attention focused on it, the need for prevention and testing.
I also read somewhere where the 50-plus group were on the rise when it comes to HIV because I think they think that they're safe.
Well, I think that may refer to people who are aging, people with HIV who are aging and have survived beyond age 50 as a result of the improvements in therapy. But I think there are people, as you point out, who are who are divorced or in second relationships, who are not considering themselves at risk for a sexually transmitted disease like HIV, who may in fact contract it. So it is something that older people who are still sexually active should be aware of, and particularly in the era of erectile dysfunction drugs. People are probably going to be sexually active into the later years. And so HIV education is something that should be out there for the old as well as the young.
Now, Dr. Gottlieb, do you think HIV and AIDS are getting the press that they once did?
No, they're not, because people are doing better, so it sort of fades from the headlines. But it is still very much with us here in the United States, and it's a huge problem internationally. The new medications that are available here, the new treatments, the more tolerable treatments that are available here are not available in most of the world, and a small fraction of people infected with HIV, and there are an estimated 33 million around the world, a very small fraction of them around the world are able to access medication. So the rollout of medication for those people really needs additional attention and funding.
And do you find that there's some myths that are still associated with HIV and AIDS?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I feel that people are educated when it comes to HIV and AIDS, or are there still myths out there about the disease?
Oh, I think there are huge myths, and there's huge stigma and huge prejudice that persists, and it's only through talking about it and having people who are public about it, like Jack and Magic Johnson and Rock Hudson in his day, that people begin to understand that it's just an illness, it's a viral illness like any other, and that people, it's not casually contracted. It's contracted in very, very well specifically defined ways, and that people are living with it, and that they're people and they deserve our respect and care.
And what is a good resource for HIV and AIDS education?
Well, there are a number of very good websites. We certainly want to refer people to livingpositivebydesign.com, which is the current campaign, but there are other websites, thebody.com, cdc.gov. These all have important and useful HIV education materials.
Well, thank you, Dr. Gottlieb. And Jack, for anyone just tuning in and they want to know more about your Living Positive by Design, what would you like to say to them?
Well, you know, as the doctor just said, livingpositivebydesign.com is a great resource. We have actually an interview with him, and he's and some other people that are doing great work in the HIV arena. I'd just like to send out a message of hope to anyone who is diagnosed as HIV positive. I do think on World AIDS Day especially, and every day, we need to start talking about it again and really have the discourse so people are aware of it, because like you said, there are many populations, the senior population, the young population, that aren't taking it seriously, and unfortunately, you know, there are over 1 million people in the U.S. living with HIV, and 1 out of 5 of them approximately doesn't know they're HIV positive. So those are the people that aren't getting the health care that they need and that are transmitting it and eventually developing the symptoms that are hopefully very preventable at this stage in the game because of all the successful treatment. So I just want to tell people, you know, Living Positive by Design is all about fighting the stigma, having thoughtful conversations about HIV, keeping it in the national dialogue, getting HIV-positive patients on a treatment regimen that's tolerable to their system and gets their virus to an undetectable level. And that's really the core of our campaign.
Well, Jack and Dr. Gottlieb, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Jack McEnroth from the hit reality TV series Project Runway about his national campaign, Living Positive by Design, and Dr. Michael Gottlieb from the David Geffen School of Medicine at the University of California. We've been talking about HIV and AIDS. I'm Kathy Jones for Community Corner.